What I'd like to have us consider this morning is a gentleman that's in all four of the Gospels, and yet we just go right over him. And I've often wondered about his life and the decisions he made, and that is Joseph of Arimathea. We're told that he was a member of the Sanhedrin, that he was a disciple of Jesus, but that he was a secret disciple. We're told that he did not approve or go along with the plan to crucify Jesus, and yet he was in the room, it seems. He may have not given a yes vote, but there's no evidence of him giving a no vote. We often focus on Peter, who betrayed Jesus, the disciples who ran away from Jesus, but here is a man who had a position of power and yet believed who Jesus was and was secretly in his heart following Jesus. And maybe he was even positioned in a place where he could have saved Jesus. And he kept his mouth shut. But then, after Jesus is on the cross and after he has been crucified and has given up his last breath and died, I'm just going to read out of John chapter 19, verse 38. It's in all four of the Gospels after the death, but after these things, Joseph of Arimathea, being a disciple of Jesus, but a secret one for fear of the Jews, asked Pilate that he might take away the body of Jesus. And Pilate granted permission, so he came and took away his body. Nicodemus, who had first come to him by night, also came, bringing a mixture of myrrh and aloes, about 100 pounds. So they took the body of Jesus and bound it in linen wrappings with the spices, as is the burial custom of the Jews. Now in the place where he was crucified, there was a garden, and in the garden a new tomb in which no one had yet been laid. Therefore, because of the Jewish day of preparation, since the tomb was nearby, they laid Jesus there. Nicodemus was also a member of the Sanhedrin, so you have two leading men of the Jews who were afraid of the rest of the Jews. Nicodemus came to Jesus at night so that nobody else would see him. Joseph just kept it quiet until it seems like it's all over. And what a time to make your allegiance known when Jesus is dead. It's almost the sense of regret and that it's all over with. And so they might as well do this one thing. Joseph was interrupted, you might say, by the events of the cross. It was an ordinary day. 3 days later, it was an ordinary day. I mean, think about all the major things in our lives. They're all ordinary days, aren't they? I remember the day we brought William home from the hospital. By the third kid, you don't really think much of it. But the first kid, it's like, isn't there supposed to be a parade? I know I can't be the only parent that has felt bringing your firstborn child home. People should be pulling aside, letting us drive through. Why must we stop at this light? We should be able to just drive through and everybody would huzzah us as we celebrate this birth. But the truth is, it was a regular day. That day that we brought William home from the hospital, somebody else was in the hospital saying goodbye. That day we brought him home from the hospital, somebody was going to the doctor to get some growth looked at. Some kid was getting suspended from school for fighting. Some dad might have been walking out. Maybe a mom. Most of the people that day, though, it was just a normal, boring, regular day. And they were going through their boring, regular routine. And they didn't realize as we drove by what joy, what excitement was in that little car as we brought home our son. They were just going about their work. They were just going about their lives. And for the most of the people, when Jesus died on the cross, they were just going about their lives. When Jesus rose again 3 days later, they were just going about their lives. The day I accepted Jesus as my Savior, the day I quit fighting and believed, was for me an auspicious day, but for most people it was just, I think it might have been a Tuesday, but I'm not quite sure. It was just a normal, regular, boring day. And yet Jesus breaks into our normal, boring, regular days, and he brings life-changing, universal decisions. We are all familiar with Jesus walking along the Sea of Galilee and telling Peter, "Follow me." And Peter just leaves his boat and leaves his nets. He tells James and John, "Come follow me." He tells Levi, Matthew at the tax collecting booth, "Come follow me." And he just leaves it all. We're familiar with Paul, who is walking on the road to Damascus, and he's a bright light shines, and he is knocked to the earth, and a voice cries out to him. And what all these are, from our viewpoint, are interruptions. Paul was going about his life to do what he wanted to do, and Jesus interrupted his plans. Jesus changed his focus and changed the direction that he was headed. Peter was going about fishing, and Jesus interrupted his day. And Peter's life was never the same. Joseph was going about his life. He was trying to be a leader of the Jews, and yet he was also secretly following Jesus. But there comes a point, there came a time in his life when he could no longer follow Jesus secretly. And for each one of us, there comes a time in our lives when what we're contemplating in our minds and our hearts has to be made known in how we live. There's a reason why we have baptism. It was a public sign. It wasn't just a good, happy time for the family to gather around and the church to gather around. It was a public sign to the community around that this person followed Jesus Christ. The Romans in Jesus' time, and as the apostles spread the news of Jesus after he had gone to heaven, the Romans at that time, whenever they would offer a sacrifice to Caesar, and they would take the incense and they would set it on fire, and they would say, "Caesar is Lord." And people went to the circus, and they went to the lions, and they went to the cross because they proclaimed, "Jesus is Lord." And there comes a time, just like for Joseph, where he might have secretly been a disciple of Jesus, but at some point he had to become public. He could not live as a public leader of the Jews and a secret disciple of Jesus. At some point it had to become public in how he lived his life. And for each one of us in our lives, it must at some point become public who we are, what we are. It might be that we are going about our lives and secretly we desire to follow Jesus. Secretly we desire to live for him. But there are all these questions, all these worries that beat us down and keep us from doing it. We wonder, what will people at work think? Maybe you're in a rough place. When I came to Christ, I was in the Marine Corps. Not exactly the most conducive place to become and to live out as a Christian. I was also on a college campus. Not the most easiest place to become and to be out loud a Christian. There's the other side of it, though. Maybe in our heart we're not following Jesus. Maybe in our heart we're doing a whole lot of other things, and maybe we're in the church. Maybe we're going to church on Sunday. Maybe we're doing Bible studies. Maybe we're keeping up appearances for our family. But in our hearts we are not following him. And it needs to become public. What is inside has to come out. What is inside eventually will come out, either in obedience to follow Jesus or in falling away and walking away from him. But the thing about Jesus is he doesn't allow us to sit there living two lives for very long. Joseph was living two lives, but eventually he had to be known publicly for what he believed and who he believed. And so he takes down the dead body of Jesus, the lifeless body, and he wraps it. And you could almost see him wrapping his future away, wrapping his leadership in the Sanhedrin away, wrapping all that he had held on to away for nothing, for a man who was already dead. Great movie, Mr. Smith Goes to Washington. And one of the things he says is, sometimes the only causes worth fighting for are the lost causes. And I wonder if at that time Joseph felt like this was a lost cause. But it was worth taking a stand eventually, finally, and proclaiming his faith. Little did he know, the disciples that were closest to Jesus didn't even know, that 3 days later Jesus was going to rise again. And he was going to live, and he was going to outlive the Sanhedrin, and he was going to outlive the power struggles that they had. He was going to outlive Rome. Everything that we have that we hope and we hold on to in this earth, he outlives. It all fades away. It all falls away. It's rubbish, but he lives. And Joseph, thinking that he was giving it all up for Jesus, found that he hadn't given anything up. As Paul says, he considers all that he had, all the standing as a Pharisee and being of the tribe of Benjamin and all the prestige he had, he says, I count it all as just rubbish. It's filth compared to knowing Jesus. My encouragement for us this morning, as we come together to celebrate Jesus' resurrection, life through him, maybe secretly in your heart, you desire to follow Jesus, but you wonder, what's it going to cost you? What are people going to think? Maybe secretly in your heart, you know you don't really follow him. Maybe you know secretly in your heart that you're being good as a pretense. You're being good to keep up appearances. But your heart really doesn't want to do those things. Whichever way you're headed today, I want to encourage you this morning that what is inside, let it be out. If it's your desire to follow Jesus, I want you to know that sooner or later you're going to have to make it public. You're going to have to take a stand and live for him in your life, or you'll find yourself never living. And quite frankly, I know I got a lot of quizzical looks of, seriously, you're going to tell them if their insides aren't for Jesus, you're going to tell them to follow that? I'd rather you living in as debauched a way as you want, honestly, than looking clean on the outside and being nothing but dead and rottenness on the inside. Because if you live what's inside of you, maybe someday you'll wake up and realize this isn't life. Maybe you'll actually realize I need Jesus. Because we're all dead. We're corrupt in our hearts. Joseph was wrapping the body of a dead man, but he was the most alive man ever lived. He is the one who has victory over death. He is the one who rose again. And my encouragement for you this morning and my prayer for you is that you would acknowledge and believe in Jesus Christ. And if you do, that you would make that faith known in how you live your life. I'd like to pray, and then we're going to have a time of response, a time for you to be able, if you want to make your faith in Jesus known, to come forward and to share that. Maybe if it's a time to make your lack of faith in Jesus known, you can come forward and share that. Maybe you're like the father who had a son that was epileptic, and he says, I believe, help my unbelief. Maybe you want to believe, but you don't believe enough. Maybe you just have the desire to believe. Let's pray about that. Let's pray, and then we'll stand and sing. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this morning. We thank you for what to us seem as interruptions, but we know that they're not interruptions. They're course corrections. They're challenges to stop interrupting you, that we might follow you. Lord, we thank you that you show us such grace. We are sinners. We deny you like Peter. We stay silent like Joseph. We come in the dark like Nicodemus, and you forgive us, and you give us faith that we might believe, and you give us strength through our faith that we might live, and that we might live out loud our faith in Jesus Christ. And we pray, Lord, this morning that the realization that Jesus Christ rose from the dead, Lord, that it would spur us to action. We pray that we would live in faith, in belief of that fact. And that we would make our faith known in how we live, and how we treat one another, and how we speak. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.